Clayton, hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should you will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again as you'll lose your place in the queue when it's lit red. There will be some members in attendance virtually, and it's been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any item before remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for comment, B for propose, S for second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make in the meeting. Any apologies? Just want to welcome Aileen, our new Director of Corporate Services, to the Council. This is our very first meeting, and I wish you all the best for your time here. Thank you. Any declarations of interest? Action sheet, item 3. Any matters arising? I have a proposer, please. Proposed by Councillor King, seconded by Dal King, seconded by Councillor Mathers. Item 4 is a notice of motion on All Ireland Citizens Assembly. First, I'm going to take in the mover of the motion, which is Councillor Quinn. If you would like to present your motion, you can take it as read and then make your remarks.
Yep, no, perfect. Thank you very much. So, as a 26-year-old female from South Armagh and a Sinn Féin councillor, I'm very proud here to bring this motion. I come from a generation grown up in the shadows of partition, but also in the promise of peace shaped by the Good Friday Agreement. That agreement gave us a democratic pathway to shape our own future, and that future is increasingly one that is shaped with Irish unity. Across our island, something is changing. People from all backgrounds, nationalists, unionists, and those who identify as neither, are beginning to ask serious and thoughtful questions as to what a kind of Ireland that we want to build. This isn't about slogans, it's about planning, it's about preparation, and it's about making unity work for everyone. As a councillor and someone from South Armagh, I see them in conversations happening every day. Young people want opportunity, farmers want better services, workers want a better economic security, and many are recognising that an Ireland of equals will be championed for those who wish for a better way forward. This is, as the motion said, the decade of opportunity, but opportunity without preparation is wasted. This is why it's essential that the Irish Government steps up now to plan and engage and to lead. We need a citizen assembly on Irish unity, and we need clear, detailed planning. We need inclusive dialogue that respects all voices, including those who are unsure or those who oppose it. But the new Ireland we are building must belong to all of us. The unity referendum is coming. It is a reality. It's not a question of what if, but when, but how are we prepared? So we need to be ready, we need to be ambitious, and we need to work together to deliver a place that reflects equality, respect and opportunity for every citizen. I understand that part of the council's note about cost implications. So in terms of that, it's important to recognise that the council has re-established the New Ireland Working Group, and that will sort of take on the questions in terms of constitutional issues and being able to create a dialogue for those who are not just for but against. So that body of work has already been agreed to undertake, an action plan is in place. So we're not talking about starting from scratch, but already building on a structure that's already in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Riley, go ahead.
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, I'm obviously from the unionist tradition, and I am totally and diametrically opposed to this notice of motion. And the proposer suggests that there are evidence of growing discussion on the constitutional future of this island, as the proposer puts it. But I work every day with members of what would be perceived as the Catholic nationalist community, and many of those people are more than happy with the present constitutional settlement because they see the benefits of living in a large economy, a large country like the United Kingdom, gives them and their families. So I am concerned that the Sinn Féin notice of motion would actually use ratepayers' cash on what is a transparently political and partisan proposal. And I don't believe that would be legal in local government terms under provision of the 2011 Act, where it specifically rules out acting in partisan fashion and using financial resources to do that. And as I said, I am a unionist. I want to maintain the present political constitutional status of being a citizen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And while I wish that for the entire community, there is absolutely nothing in the present constitutional settlement to stop or hinder people wanting to feel Irish and exhibit their Irishness. And the Fla Cuil recently was a brilliant demonstration of how the United Kingdom can facilitate and incorporate all aspects of our culture on this island. And the council did go against the government regulations and adopt this notice of motion. There would have to then be an equal playing field, and unionism would have to be allocated a similar facility. So I don't believe that the council would facilitate the unionist perspective. So I'd be proposing that we vote against this notice of motion and not request a recorded vote. Thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, a bit like Councillor Riley, as someone that firmly believes in the union and as a committed unionist, I will obviously be strongly opposing the notice of motion that's been presented this evening. There's absolutely no evidence of growing support for constitutional change in Northern Ireland. In fact, the position is quite to the contrary of that, with the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland in poll after poll that's published making it very clear that they wish for Northern Ireland to remain within the United Kingdom. So I don't see this suggested momentum or any sort of growing support for constitutional change. It doesn't exist. There's a bit of an echo chamber within republicanism at the moment in respect of this. So there isn't the support there. So I don't think we should be even looking at an issue like this. And the Good Friday Agreement obviously has legislation in place. If there was that evidence in place that a border poll would be called, and it's very clear that that doesn't exist at this moment in time, I don't think it will exist in any time in the future, in particularly the near future. And certainly as local representatives, we should be concentrating on issues that will better serve the interests of our citizens. And notice of motions like this, a bit like the creation of the New Ireland Working Group, they only serve to alienate the unionist community in the district when the purpose of our council is to serve all, and I emphasise all of our citizens. of Newry Morning Down. This motion sounds contrary to that. And we should instead be working on the issues that really matter to people and work together to make Northern Ireland the best place that it can be, rather than trying to focus on these constitutional issues that really at this moment in time there's no desire for any change on. So I certainly wouldn't be supporting the motion, and I think, like Councillor Riley, we should be actually questioning, is it legal for us as a council to be doing this type of thing? Because it does obviously take a very strong position on one particular constitutional point or the other. So it's something we should be should be looking at in terms of taking anything forward in that regard. So I won't be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We support the motion as it's in front of us, but there's a wee bit that we want to add to it. Just the comments from Councillor O'Reilly and Councillor Taylor. Obviously, there's conversations going on down this island about a new direction and a new way forward. Some people can agree with it, some people can disagree with it. But I think it is incumbent on us, for whatever change lies in front of us in the future, to engage with the people that we represent and to ready our area for any potential change, whatever that may be. So when we're talking about concentrating on issues that affect people in our district, we can talk even on the New Ireland Working Group about duplication of services, how we can improve infrastructure, healthcare, and the general all-island economy. By having discussions like this, you know, this council has led on the Dublin-Belfast Economic Corridor and holds the officers that drive that project forward. That's a cross-island project to develop one of the best world-leading corridors between Belfast and Dublin. We can't say that that work's not important, because we have to be focusing on the local issues. The local issues benefit if we look at a wider vision across this island. So I welcome debates like this. I think we should be having more debates like this in council. Councillor Taylor also said, it's just a point I want to raise, that there are clear, it's clear in the Good Friday Agreement, conditions for a border poll. And as David said, it's very clear that that doesn't exist. Those conditions haven't been met. I disagree. I disagree strongly. I think it is very vague. It is very loose. And it's down to the Secretary of State, the ever-changing Secretary of State, over the last number of years, to say when he believes that a majority has been triggered. There's nothing that lays in that outlines distinct criteria. And that is a major problem for us in the SDLP. I think a lot of work needs to be done to tease that out. What does that mean? What are the conditions? And that's not for the Secretary of State in London to decide. That's for the people, the democratic people up and down the island of Ireland to decide. So that's a conversation that we should be having. What are the conditions that we want to see that will trigger a border poll? Not that an ever-changing Secretary of State wants to see. So to take the power away from London, we have to furnish the Labour government or the government of the day what the people of this island see as the criteria. May that be a majority in assemblies, a population vote, or conditions that are met that are agreed by joint governments north and south. So we have to have a lot more discussion on that. The Citizens' Assembly, I suppose, the Citizens' Assembly All Ireland, I agree with, but I think it needs to be more than that. We can have a discussion, north and south, about the future direction of this island. But at the end, there's no final power for a Citizens' Assembly. And while it's good to have those discussions, we in the SDLP have been having discussions for a number of years through the New Ireland Commission, through events that we have held in the Mac Theatre, where we're talking to people from all different backgrounds, Nationalist, Unionist and NATO, on the future direction of this island. Those discussions are important, but we need to put meat on the bones. And to do that, to engage properly with the Irish government, we want to amend the motion to call for a ministry for a New Ireland to be established. That actually gives powers down the south, not a joint Oireachtas committee, a ministry for New Ireland, where that ministry would have a minister in place in order to have these discussions and to move that work forward. Citizens' assemblies obviously complement that, north and south, but when you don't have the structures in place, all we can do is have more discussions and talking shops on these issues. So I hope that the proposal of the motion, while I fully support the motion, would accept the amendment to add in to write to the Irish government to establish a ministry for a New Ireland, which will have a minister in place.
Do you have a seconder for that?
Yes, Chair, I have a second.
Councillor Quinn, are you happy to accept? administration.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sorry.
Second option.
I said, Ben, can you confirm here? Accepting that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with that.
Yeah, Councillor Riley.
Chairman, I would just point out to Councillor Byrne, the Sinn Féin proposed a paper in Dáil Éireann, which was kicked into touch and defeated on this very issue. So it seems a bit pointless us to be discussing this here tonight when the Irish Parliament and the Oireachtas have already decided, no, we're not going down this path. It just seems superfluous to the discussion. And Chairman, there's 2 points here in the officer's report where he suggests the general proposal with no clearly defined impact on or connection to specific equality or good relations outcomes. It is anticipated the proposal will have an adverse effect upon equality of opportunities or good relations. And he said, no, that's not the case. And also where it says, proposal relates to the introduction of a strategy, policy, initiative or practice or sensitive or contentious decision. And again, the officer said, no, that's not the case. Clearly, from the union's perspective, this is a highly contentious decision. And I cannot understand why the officer is trying to gloss over that. It just seems incredible, Chairman. Thank you.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Just to come back, and first of all, thank Councillor Quinn for accepting the amendment. Just on the point that Councillor O'Reilly says about the debate that's happening in the Dáil and may not have got through the recommendation. We have the privilege in political parties that have a clear identity and a vision for the future to keep knocking on the door, as is our political will to see a new Ireland. So I think it's incumbent on us as a council and as councillors to put forward the view of Mary Morland Down Council to Dáil Éireann and to Stormont. And that's not something that we'll apologise for. The other point I wanted to make, just to wrap up, Chair, I talked about the work that we have to do on council, and obviously there's going to be papers we'll have from the next week committee on that. But just to remind people that we have the facility in MD Speak, where we can actually engage with citizens right across this area and ask them their views on it. And those views may be of a new Ireland, a new vision for this place. It may be for a stronger union. So engaging with our residents right up and down this district to find out what their opinions are only strengthens the argument. So that would be very light on resources. We've used NMD Speak before to garner views of people in consultations. So that's something that I would like to see coming in the paper. Going out, and I know it may be uncomfortable for people because it's a political decision and option this council start that conversation, but that's if that's the will of the council, that's what I'd like to see happening. So thank you.
You're not on the mic. Councillor Reddy, clarified you've made a proposal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Could I be Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, just in support of the motion and our amendment as well. Look, and I don't want to be disrespectful in this at all towards the unionist parties, but I think we all recognise now that politically the current incumbent unionist parties will probably never engage in any of this debate. I think that's accepted now. So we're seeing a peeling off of some of the membership of the unionist parties away from that, those who have been more enlightened than the political centre, I suppose, ground of unionism. And in saying that, I think it's very incumbent upon this council, as you know, one of the leading councils in the north, to take up a position like this. Because it's the future generations that we are talking about here, and we're protecting their livelihood. You know, the basically Ireland has come together now economically and socially, very much so. And we can't leave that great swathe of people, you know, who want change and are willing to see change, willing to listen to change. So we feel that we have to be the voice of this in the absence of others. And to me, that makes a hell of a lot of common sense. Now, you know, this is not, it's not all, you know, lights in the darkness, in the sense that it's easy to all. We've seen at council level how difficult it is to bring, you know, two councils together. So people can out with, you know, snappy headlines around easy unification and New Ireland. You know, they're not looking at the reality barely at all and what needs to be done. And I think the more that needs to be done on the ground by even local councils to demonstrate to people, you know, both the pluses and the negatives and the difficulties in the whole operation, I think you'll be doing our people for the next 50 years, you know, looking into a referendum. I don't mean that the referendum held 50 years, I'm talking about you look at politics in IRA 50 years, hence we'll have done the people a great favour, because who knows what will happen politically in terms of border hole if it comes sooner or later for all we know. And the worst thing we saw with Brexit was ill preparation. We're now in a scrambling match trying to get back into the European Union. And I can see the same thing happen here, that, you know, the people saying, oh, well, we, you know, we didn't, if we had known, you know, we would have put certain submissions in and we had done that. And we're not going to get that for the unionist people at the moment. So that's why a motion like this, while maybe controversial to the unionist people, I do think they're necessary and very supportive of it.
Thank you. Okay. Just to clarify, Councillor Riley, we don't need to vote against. We're going to be having a vote for it. Councillor King.
Sure. It's just a real quick comment. I'm just listening to the two gentlemen and David online, you know, here implying that there's no conversation happening around Irish unity. Like, you are just trying as best as you can to hold on to the reins so hard. But you just know that those reins are slipping, and that's because there's no generation, that there is a generation that's coming behind you that want change, and they want a different approach to things. They want a one approach of housing, health, education. So I don't get why you are afraid of having the conversation when you know rightly that it's happening all around you. And the representation around for the unionist community, you know, you take last week, we had the annual West Belfast FELA that happens every year, and all backgrounds attend that FELA over a week or so to discuss the future of the island, members from your community. And we had the FLA as well, that obviously brought all cultures together, demonstrating a new way of togetherness. And a lot of people from that week of the FLA felt that, and I know you've probably felt that and seen it as well. You know, people are starting to see that there is an alternative. They want to welcome progressiveness. And I welcome the progressiveness from our members here tonight that is in support of the motion. So, thank you.
I get my own comments. I think inflating the FLA with the United Ireland, I think does a disservice to a successful FLA. I have a question in turn for Councillor Quinn.
Sure, I have a query as well. Sorry, if whenever
that's great. In relation to the last sentence, obviously this motion is going to be passed tonight, so I think it is important that we understand what we're asking the council to do. So that we're asking the council to further commit to hearing the voices of people in the district on this conversation. If Councillor Quinn could just clarify what you're actually asking, because as has been mentioned, we had as recently as yesterday the New Ireland working group, which was a group set up by Sinn Féin, which is already tasking council officers to spend considerable resources, time and energy into researching into Irish unity. And I would question, as Councillor Riley has said, the legality of requesting officers who maybe come from a different political background to be having to engage in politically motivated research for something that isn't even on the horizon. We don't have a date. I would disagree with Councillor Byrne that it is on the horizon. Councillor Taylor, Councillor Quinn, if you could clarify what you mean by that request of council. What are we asking council to do here by listening to the voices?
Look, I'm not asking anyone to reinvent the wheel. It's in terms of the cost implementation. I think it's sort of a bit premature to think that there is going to be one, in the sense that there are. I'm happy enough that the work that will be done in regards to the motion will be carried out through the New Ireland Group in terms of research papers or anything like that, and that will be carried forward through that group. I'm not envisioning costs associated to the motion, or, you know, starting to re-establish something separate. I'm happy enough, if council is happy enough, to just, you know, entitle that to link in with the New Ireland Working Group. And in terms of the work that's going to be done, it is both open to all members. Everyone got an email. They can join. They can go. They can make their opinions heard. There will be research papers. There will be experts. Come, challenge them. If you have a different opinion, or if you have some factual evidence that's going to contradict it, I invite anyone to attend and be able to bring an opinion. The same way, if there was something that was going to promote the union, I would go, I would attend, and I'd bring my opinion forward, and I would have the debate. As Councillor Byrne said, you know, we need to be having the debate. Brexit happened on us all too soon, and we need to be able to engage with each other, have conversations, and not be scared of the subject. So that's it, Sinead.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. Listen, I just want to reassure Councillor King as well that there's any reason coming behind me that's committed to sustaining and protecting the union as well. So we're not going to give up that easily in terms of where we are at the moment. It was Councillor Riley's proposal, just to get that proposal in detail again. I just couldn't quite hear it. I'm not sure if he had his microphone on at the time.
It's not a proposal from Councillor Riley. He's just indicating that he's voting. He'll be voting against the motion, and that's a recorded vote on it.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, thank you.
That's Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, just a very, very brief remark, Chair. Just for the minutes and for the audio, I don't want any suggestion going out that we're tasking councillors with going highly charged political work. That's not the case. The last line from Councillor Quinn is very clear, that we go out and we ensure we hear the voices of the people across. That is not putting an opinion to the people, that's hearing the voices of the people. And if we pass something here to go down a lane and interrogate a piece of work on unity, going out to the people and saying, this is what this council decided to do, this is the work that's going on in the New Ireland Working Group, what are your views? Those views could be completely in support, completely against, or you're just wasting your time doing other things. That is open to everybody to come with their views. Nobody's been steered in any direction, so I just want to challenge the remark that this motion sends officers out to do any highly charged political work. The absolute opposite. It gets the voices of the people on the work that we're doing and what they think about it, and we should be doing that right across the board on all the work that we do here. And NMD speak is a way that we can do it, by asking the people their opinion.
Well, I obviously didn't attend the New Ireland Working Group, the DUP didn't. But I've read the report. It clearly states that officers have been asked to research into planning and preparing for Irish Unity. I don't think that's the role of officers, and certainly isn't the role of local government. All I have. Take your mic in and stay again, please.
No, I say, Mr. Bowsey, I was at that meeting in the working group last night, and everybody is dedicated working with the basis of the Dublin, you know, with a feedback, and I think that it is important having debates, and it's open to everybody, and like I make like things, but I always like to hear other people's opinions, so I do, and I think it's important that we do have them, and I have nothing but admiration for our staff who do a professional job all round, and no matter what's expected of them, they go the extra mile to ensure a delivery for this council.
Thank you. So, just hand over to Elaine, our officer.
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm in relation to Councillor Riley's point, at the point that this report is drafted, as it's currently written, no equality issues has arisen. However, following any decisions of council, any matter decided by the council will always be equality screened and will be considered if equality screening is necessary. So following the debate tonight, we will always look at that, and that's a continual obligation as officers that we will always adhere to. just to confirm that point. In relation to the discussion tonight, the two actions really as a result of the motion, the first being the letter to be written with, as set out in the report at 1.1 with the 3 points. And I note there's been an amendment proposed, seconded, and it's been accepted, subject to being voted upon. The fourth point about a ministry for New Ireland to be established. The second action, which is referenced in a report, that just highlights that we need consideration by elected members as to what those next steps are, because potentially there's resource implications around the commitment to ensuring the voices of the people are heard. From the discussions, can I take it that that item is going to be then amended to include that that is taken forward through the New Ireland Working Group? Is that what Councillor Quinn was referring to, or is that item, that second action, to be removed?
Councillor Quinn?
Yeah, I think the second action probably could be removed in terms of the cost, the 4.1 I think you're referring to.
Yes, I can confirm. So at 1.1, we have listed down the three points, and then we have the fourth one that's been proposed and seconded and accepted. And then the second, or the last line, this council further commits to ensuring the voices of people across Newry, Mourne and Down are heard as part of this important conversation about the future of our island. And just to confirm, Councillor Quinn is proposing that that can be removed, and possibly the seconder it might need to confirm they agree that.
Councillor Quinn, are you confirming you're happy to remove this council further commits to ensuring the voices of people across Newry, Mourne and Down are heard as part of this important conversation about the future of our island?
No, I'm not removing that.
Can you clarify what you are agreeing to then?
No, I'm in reference to the cost implementation. I don't believe that the motion will bring any costs. I reference in terms of the work the council will be doing through the New Ireland Working Group. I'm will link into what the costs will be in terms of the work that will be carried out. I don't think it's not specifically naming out any work that's going to be done or any costs that's going to be associated with it. It's just that the work that the council will be doing will reaffirm the voices of the people.
Okay, okay. I think we can go to the vote now then. You don't want to add anything?
Yeah, just I want to get clarification on the discussions, and I obviously the legal side of it. We bring notices of motions. I'm on council 10 years, and we've brought notices of motions that are broad in what they're asking. It's a position of the council, and then following on from that, what gets continues on that notice of motion because officers are sent away to look into it. And now councillors are being asked multiple times to spell out exactly what the engagement with the people or should there be engagement with people. And I think that's been brought too early. We've discussed it and go back to the New Ireland Commission. We've discussed that if it's voted, this will be the majority vote of this committee, and we bring that forward. I've stated in my comments that we already have a tool in Newry, Mourne and Down Speak, which is going out online with surveys, telling the people what we're doing and what is their opinion on it. I think, you know, even asking a councillor to retract that is a dangerous route to go down. And I understand it's only four because you can't put your finger on exactly the work the council officers are doing. But if we go down a route, we should communicate that with people and we should ask them what their opinion is, because this council has been found itself in muddy water for actually not communicating enough with people. So as a foundation, Councillor Quinn's motion to go back to the New Ireland Working Group, use of NMD Speak and what other resources may be available, and bring a paper back on that. But I think it has to stay in there.
Note the Councillor's comments on that.
Can I actually respond on that? Sorry. Councillor Byrne, to be clear, I was asking no elected member to retract any statement during the discussion as I heard it, and that's why I asked for clarification from Councillor Quinn, because I heard about the New Ireland Working Group being the vehicle to take it forward. So I was simply only asking for clarification, and no way was I asking an elected member to retract any statement from a notice of motion. It was for clarification for my own purposes.
Yeah, I would agree with Eileen Kirk there. I don't think she was asking anybody, any elected member, to retract statements.
For the record, for the audio, Chair.
I'm still speaking. Mike. Hold on. I think that was an unfair comment. Councillor Byrne.
And for the record, and for the audio, because I want to be very clear on this, that question and my interruption there was because of the conversation happening on the top table that wasn't recorded, asking, well, what will the next steps be? You need to know what the next steps are before that can go through. And that is simply not the case for the notice of motion.
Yeah,
you can figure out the next steps, and that's why I was putting that point down. So why we're dancing on the head of the pin of what it looks like right now is the point that I was making. I want to make that clear.
Yeah, I think we're ready for the vote, Fionnuala.
Councillor Boise?
Against the motion as amended.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hardy?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Highway?
Abstain.
Councillor Orlicking? Councillor Cahalking?
For.
Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice? Councillor Taylor?
Against.
And Councillor Truesdale?
Abstain.
So I have 10-4, 3 against, and 2 abstentions.
Motion's passed. Item 5 is BRCD, tourism event. I'll hand over to Amanda Smith.
Members, the paper that here this evening is two things. It's providing an update on the BRCD tourism project and seeking approval to establish a project board for the management of BRCD tourism project. That will include 7 councillors from the membership that is listed at recommendation 3.1. This paper is an update following the last paper that we came to the May SPNR meeting. And from that we have, the April SPNR meeting. And from that we have appointed a multidisciplinary team that was appointed in May and that has been progressing with the next steps that was outlined at that April SPNR meeting. So seeking approval this evening for members to note the updates that's outlined in the report and to agree the establishment of the project board with the representation of elected members as set out in the paper.
Thank you. Councillor High.
But actually, I think that's me. It's on the wrong name. Thank you, Chair. The report makes mention of a challenge fund for businesses, which is great, but I'm always continually disappointed that there's never anything like it for residents who are also challenged with traffic, parking, litter, unenacted bylaws, increased ASB, no emergency extra services and lack of good sustainable jobs. The basics are not being covered, but ironically those same basics will make people stay longer when they visit here. Those fundamentals create happy, healthy societies, so why are they never considered together? There are no terms of reference within the setting up of this programme project board, and to be honest, the very words programme board give me PTSD rumbles. We cannot operate under the previous terms of reference, as they were changed so many times I wasn't aware which ones we were operating under anyway. The report does not clearly map out how issues escalate between the three layers, or where the line sits between the project board's strategic direction, role and the stakeholder engagement group. This, again, will create confusion and duplicated effort. There's no word on frequency of meetings, chairing arrangements, whether the senior responsible person or an independent chair leads it, or reporting at pace to SPNR. Councillor Lewis, last time we went through this process, he suggested twice, and it was only really in passing because he was very frustrated at the he said, she said that were going on. He suggested twice that the programme / project board should be recorded. As minutes were not arriving in time to SPNR, documents were not being fed through fast enough. He didn't make it as a proposal. And I would like to make it as a proposal, because I would never want anybody to experience the same robust discussion, and that, for the benefit of the minutes, is in inverted commas, from councillors like I did, because I voiced disagreements to the project. Do you want to do that recorded vote now, or do you want me to carry on because of a wee bit more? Do you want to do it now? Okay, I'll just carry on then. So finally, in relation to this setting up of a programme / project board, I want to address a story that was in yesterday's press. In September 2023, SBNR attendees were told that the appendices mentioned in item 20, Mourne Mountain Gateway Project, which was only for noting, which I find incredulous, could be requested. One of those was Appendix 7A. Now, this was under the proper name Environmental and Ecology Report. It's become known as a risk report. The programme board to this day, now if we go into our document library, still do not have Appendix 7A in their library. Why was this offered to SPNR and not the programme board? Even after we, Councillor Harvey and I, requested Appendix 7A, we were still refused, and there was a protracted going back and forth to obtain it. When and where was the decision made not to attach appendices to massive capital projects coming through SPNR for decision? And will this idea now be reversed in the interest of complete transparency for the current, this current project?
Who's your seconder?
Councillor Howie.
Anyone have any comments in relation to this proposal before we move on? Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, I have seeking clarity, obviously, from the officers. That at SBNR committee, we can get down into the detail of setting the terms of reference of a programme board that we may not be on, which is the first item on the agenda when a programme board is set. The programme board sits, and the first thing they do is set the terms of reference and agree with it, and that comes back and gets signed off by us. For us then to give that programme board of the seven members, we don't know who they are, criteria to say these are your terms of reference before you even go to set them. I mean, that's a bit of a governance loophole for me. It's dodgy ground. And secondly, I don't want to get into the issues of the past on programme boards, but of course I agree with Councillor Truesdale and that we need to do better, but I also must remind members that programme boards are set up to support officers in the delivery of a project. We can oppose a project in its complete entirety, then it mightn't be the best idea to sit on a programme board to deliver the project. You can have differences of opinion on what stages of the project and other things that can be done and thrash them out, but your role on a programme board is to support officers in the delivery of a capital project, and that's really important. And I think when we blow them lines, we get into this dangerous ground that we got in the last one. So if you didn't agree with a project, we won the programme board. But I think from this proposal that was made to BCRD, there was unanimous agreement in the direction of travel. So just that comment, I don't want to get back into tit for tat in previous programme boards. I do want to see us doing better. But I do have a problem with it imposing terms of reference before they set their terms of reference.
Councillor Truesdale.
Chair, just to be clear, I'm not saying we set the terms of reference. I'm saying that it needs to be very clear this time, a more open, transparent accountability is shown. We're not going to set the terms of reference, but I'm just saying look back to what went wrong before and take it forward with the terms of reference that will be set. Also, in any project, I don't know, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but my job is to provide scrutiny and ask questions, and I don't agree with everything, and if I don't agree, it's my job to ask questions so that I can understand things better myself. So I see that as my job on any project, on any paper, anything that comes before me, it's my job to question it.
Just reiterate your proposal there, please.
That the project programme board is recorded.
Okay, so they go to vote. Happy with a show of hands?
I didn't get the clarity, Chair, from any officer. But
any officer want to come in?
Writing terms of reference for programme board who actually sit to make the terms of reference, tell them.
I can provide clarity. So, yes, the Councillor Byrne is correct that the first item would be the terms of reference for that particular programme board, get agreement at the programme board then to bring back. So that's correct.
Oh, sorry, don't make come
up. Councillor Truesdale, are you happy with that clarification? Or?
Sorry, does that mean that the programme board decides if they are to record themselves?
So normally would be the case the terms of reference of a programme board, the draft or proposed terms of reference would be the first item for the programme board to confirm that they're content with, and then that would be, you know, brought back.
Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, it's just for our own knowledge in regards to why programme boards are not recorded. That is something that I'm not aware of, because it was just when I come into council that just working groups and programme boards don't be recorded. So, like, are we setting a precedent that we're going to start recording every single meeting in the council? That's what we agree, but I don't think we can set aside one aside from others that are already ongoing. So it's just to really just consider that whenever we're looking at that proposal. And, you know, Councillor Byrne's totally right in what he's saying. The terms of reference are set at the first meeting of the group. You know, we only have to look at the Ulster Scots group. Last week we set the terms of reference or agreed a process for setting the terms of reference within the nominated councillors who are there to represent the party that they represent. So I just think we're maybe just stepping ahead of ourselves tonight if we do agree this. You know, it needs to go to that first meeting.
And I can provide some clarity that certainly there'd be significant budget information, risk information, financial, commercially sensitive information that are discussed at programme boards for councillors' information and agreement. But any major decisions still come back to this SPNR committee and to full council. So, for example, an investment decision between an outline business case and full approval to appoint a contractor for full delivery. That, for example, is a decision that will come back to all members of this committee and move forward to full council. So, just to provide that clarity.
Councillor Riley.
Yeah, Chairman, I would just point out that the project board, one of the most recent meetings was in Newry Town Hall before the work commenced there in the Arts Centre in the Town Hall. And that was on purpose, so as the architects or whatever could explain what was going to be done and get an agreement on it. But there was no facility to record that project board meeting. So I'm just a bit concerned that the Alliance Party seem to want to create this conspiracy syndrome within the council and the local media that there's something going on, that we're trying to that the council's trying to pull or hoodwink the public, because we're not. We're trying our best. All the parties in here are trying our best for this district. But the Alliance Party continually pumping out this conspiratorial stuff that there's some sort of underhand project going on. That's not true. The Ulster Unionists, DUP, Sinn Féin Alliance, or sorry, SDLP, not Alliance, do seem to want to work together for the best of this district. But there's one party that just wants to continually undermine us, and I'm at a loss as what they think they can achieve by that. Thank you.
Councillor Shrewsdale, can you clarify what you mean by record? Is it audio or minutes or both?
Audio recorded, yeah. Yes, thank you, Chair. I don't really know what to say to that previous comment, but just to get clarity, the terms of reference will come back to SPNR after the project board has agreed them. I just want to be sure that was said.
That's correct. And it'll show the layers of assurance or governance around the programme board.
No, I appreciate that. And I think the reason we're asking these questions is because, like, we actually want this project to work, and we have always wanted this money for our district. The last project ran and has failed now, and we had significant concerns and felt like they were not being appropriately recorded and brought back to the SPNR committee, and that's where we had concerns with, you know, minutes of programme board meetings not being brought back and in time for the discussions in SPNR. But that's all nitty gritty, and I'm not going to get into that. That's previous. That's the previous project, and I just think there's a lot we can learn for this project and how we can get it right, how we can be transparent, how we can bring this project forward for our district. So that's just why we've been asking the questions, and I think that is our job. We, you know, and we all know that. We all ask questions around this chamber. We're all here to scrutinise. And so, yeah, I just want to be very clear on that. On the actual paper, I just have a couple of questions regarding, so there was a mention of a business engagement session that took place on the 1st of July. I'd just like to know what were the results of that survey or session and how did that go? And then further on in the paper, it discusses about how, so the OBC is due to come back at the end of 2026, but there is a community engagement that's scheduled in autumn of 2026. I'm just wondering, how will the community engagement and feedback meaningfully shape the OBC, especially because there's quite a tight timescale and turnaround with that, you know, from autumn to trying to get the OBC back at the end of the year. So that's all I have, Chair.
Amanda?
So, this is here. Is that me?
Let me know. Just to respond to your two comments, in relation to the business engagement event, I don't have the figures to hand, but the consultants are pulling together that at the moment, and it is our intentions that we'd be able to update the members at the first meeting of that working group that we are establishing. But early indications is that the response was well received and good input coming in from the businesses and the individuals that responded. And we'll be able to update as at that next meeting. What was your second question, sorry? Oh, the timescale?
Yeah,
so there is significant engagement is going to be undertaken through this process. From the consultants have been engaged right up until, you know, as you've said, the autumn period. The OBC has been done alongside that in tandem, and all those timescales are all in line with making sure that any engagement and consultation that they will have an opportunity to be reflected in the OBC. So the consultants working on this have set the timescales, and all of the timescales around that engagement can be reflected in the outline business case.
And I would just note that we do have the audit committee, and we saw in a report at the last committee that Alliance have the worst attendance at that committee. That's an opportunity to scrutinise, and you don't take up that opportunity whenever on the agenda you have the corporate risk register, which goes into length, being able to scrutinise capital projects. Councillor Hanlon.
Well, it's not very often I agree with Councillor Bowsey, but I think we're maybe throwing the baby out with the bathwater to a certain extent here this evening. There is nobody more committed to scrutiny and, you know, the detail of audit, as Colm has referred to. I've sat on SPNR as chair and vice chair rotating over the last 7 years, and I'd like to think that I am over the detail of governance to a great degree. Even with my previous role, before I came into the council, I was very much entrenched in audit and governance as well. Just to remind the Chamber, not that you need to, but previous issues with the last project were around land ownership and around, you know, and that was the basic thing. I think that early engagement has been very, very good. I do think officers have learnt a lot from the last project. But let's not forget, this is significant funding coming into our council, and nobody has mentioned that to date in the chamber. You know, we're talking about the minutiae of the terms of reference. It's going to get sorted out, and it will come back here for us to agree. We need to be positive. We need to bring positivity into this district, and this is the project that is going to go as far as Slieve, Gullion, Kilbroney, right down into Delmont, which is right beside my own DEA. And, you know, we need to be pushing it, and we need to be really, yes, scrutinising it, but be very, very positive. And business community already being engaged with, I think, is absolutely fantastic. Community engagement, absolutely brilliant. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we need to keep the focus on. And a reminder that this, again, is significant investment in our tourism offering in Newry Morning Down.
Any last comments on this? Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, in fact, I was sorry you were going to come in and say exactly roughly the same as Councillor Hanlon. I don't think we're losing sight of this area, but a lot of the public, appetite at the moment is to see this money come into this area and been spent properly. And I think there's been undue criticism of the council and council staff as well about bringing this forward. Everybody knows that when you go out into that great world of public spending public money, that you just can't go off willy-nilly and sort it all out in 3 weeks and, you know, deliver a project. There's public scrutiny, and rightly so. The expectations are there from the public to see the project delivered. And these things, you look at, unfortunately, at a slower pace than the private sector. So we can't lose sight of this. We're trying to set up a board here, and the timescale is quite good. Looking at it, that they're going to work with it. You know, at the end of the day, some of them phone, some of them early next year. And when you take all, I think this is extremely positive. So, and not easy to put together because of nature. The old project, which failed, was really one singular project. This here is something very unusual in that we're taking in three regions here. And it's not easy to conjure up something that is acceptable at you know, at government level and board level and city field. It's not easy doing this. And the council office correctly take a proper and cautious approach that we're not made fools of when we go with a bid in, that it is stand up and it is properly scrutinised by the public, and the public know what they're getting. So I'd be very positive with this, as well, you know, I'm looking at the timescale, looking at what's going to involve, look at, you know, my own doorstep, Narrowwater Bridge, and how that all will come together. And, you know, I think potentially, even though we don't know exactly what it will be looking like yet, potentially will offer something absolutely magnificent for three areas that wouldn't have seen anything really in terms of investment and that type of money. Three areas, don't forget, within our council area, which is very positive. Thanks, Chair.
Hey, Councillor Truesdale, last comment.
Thank you. Just Councillor O'Reilly, I think he's confusing scrutiny for conspiracy. The idea is to scrutinise, and that's what we will continue to do. Heard all this before, positivity. We have never not been positive about this new project. We have always said that this is a good idea because it spreads the economy right throughout the district. From the time that we sat in Warm Point Town Hall, that was our big thing. It spreads it right across the district so everybody gets a bite of the pie. I would like an answer to a question that I asked around when and where the decision was made not to attach appendices to capital projects coming through SPNR for decision, and will this idea now be reversed? Thank you.
I'm unaware of a decision being made to that extent. Speaking through the chair, but I know on occasion when there's documents that are of significant size or documents that form a lot of appendices, that they can be put on as background documents and can be offered to members for a view on request.
Councillor Truesdale, are you content with the assurances about the terms of reference, or your proposal still stands?
Sorry, yeah, we're content.
Withdraw the proposal. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. I know it's not a committee member. Thank you for giving me the chance to speak. And sort of believe years ago, whenever the BRCD would be proposed, I remember sitting here and asking the then chief executive what was in it for Rowallan. And I know, I must say, Delmont Country Park has always been a jewel in my crown. And since 2011, I've advocated to get more for Delmont, and I'm happy in this perspective to support what's being recommended here in this paper tonight. You know, the three-way, you know, the three projects are accepted that it's going to benefit from this here. And I must say that with the new council body that is going to be set up, over 15 years, I've sat in more project boards and working groups. I've had dinners. And the procedures has already been outlined, the work in terms of reference it's the first item on the agenda. But look, that argument's been well spiced tonight, but I must say with which the new council body that's going to be set up to oversee the sterling work that's been envisaged in this report, and I'm fully supportive of the recommendations and what's been envisaged for the tourism aspect of the BRCD. But thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed, completely welcome the investment for Delamont. Hopefully that'll happen. We need a proposer, please. By Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Item 6, quarter of the way through. Assessment of performance by Catherine Hughes.
Thank you, Chair. I would ask, please, that members consider and agree the assessment of performance 2025-26 as attached to the report, and I just would also like them to agree that when the final planning statistics are released at the end of the year, that we include those in the report that's published, and if there are any changes from the draft planning statistics that are included in this report, that I send out those changes to all the members to highlight the differences that are between the two. Thank you.
Okay, any comments or questions? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, happy with that. I'm happy to propose. We're always coming in on the performance improvement plans with negative comments, so, but I just want to, for the record, note something very, very positive. And then, Andy, it's in your directorate in AHC, and the leisure figures that are through the roof. And I understand, you know, the Newry figures were saying actually in the commentary there that it's due to the full centre opening with the pool opening. But that's not even the case, because the year before that, we had a 50% increase on top of those figures, going from nearly 330,000 to 500,000 people. That is astonishing. And the work done by your department, and especially at the Newry Leisure Centre, I've had many conversations and many proposals in Newry Leisure Centre, which have been implemented, and other councillors as well. I know Councillor Mathers as well. And to see that council, that Leisure Centre running as efficiently as it is, and how happy people are working in it, and the staff, I chat with them 3 times a week in the centre, it's phenomenal. So keep it up, no pressure. Hopefully there's no closures in the future, but hitting 500,000 is absolutely astonishing. And nearly a 25% rise in the memberships just goes to show that people are giving a vote of confidence through their pockets. So well done to the AHC team for that.
You, Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, I would concur with those comments. I know, like, using the facilities myself and saying, you know, there has been a lot of improvements that are very tangible, even without this report. I just wanted to touch on planning. I think it would be remiss not to. It feels as though sometimes we go like 2 steps forward and then 3 steps back. And knowing the volume of queries that I'm getting, not only as a councillor but through the MLA office, you know, are we actually making progress? You know, has the consultant made any inroads? And could we maybe get a more comprehensive report back on where we actually are? You know, when we contact planners, and I understand the pressure they're under, and I take my hat off to them to deal with the level of work they have, but, you know, we're just told we're allocating, you know, as they come in. Is maybe that the best way? Because there could be something that could be approved more quickly, or something of significant economic value. And I have said that so many times in the chamber, but it never seems to be that we get a really in detailed report. So I would ask that that's considered by senior management. In terms of us known as elected representatives, what we can go out and say to our constituents, because there is a lot of frustration, and I don't think anybody in the chamber will disagree with me there. So just wanted to make that point.
Note the members' comments, and certainly I understand that there's a detailed report due, certainly for the next audit committee, and possibly into SPNR in September before audit. So Jonathan will be drafting that report in the attending committee.
Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just want to echo what Councillor Byrne said. There's been very strong performances delivered. But as Councillor Hanlon has pointed out, there are also still issues with planning. So the question around planning, the cases that I have seem to get stuck between planning enforcement and legal, and there seems to be this tennis back and forward, and they drag on for such a long time. And the person who's breaking the planning legislation or whatever is carrying on. So therefore, the mess that has to be cleaned up is three, four times the size of what it was when it was first reported. So that seems to be a bit incongruent. I just wanted to ask, on the economy, there was 236 new jobs promoted. What does that mean, promoted? What does that, is that jobs made?
Amanda?
I can respond to that question, Councillor. So under Argo Succeed programme, jobs promoted is a statutory indicator. It's one that we report on every year. We have agreed how we report on that with the two departments that are responsible, DFC and DfE. So there is a conversion rate. So the main output from the business startup support through the Go Succeed programme is business plans, and jobs promoted is the number of jobs that is accumulated from the number of business plans that are produced through the programme. So there is a formula, and that's why it's called jobs promoted. So it is taken from the number of business plans produced through the programme. That equates to a number of jobs promoted. It essentially is jobs created, but there's a formula to arrive at the jobs promoted figure.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Yes, Chairman, it was just on one aspect of the report where it says we will improve the cleanliness of our district by continuing to promote recycling, addressing littering, fly tipping and dog fouling incidents. Chairman, I have to say that seems, on dog fouling, that seems aspirational to me rather than practical, because the amount of dog fouling in the district, especially in this really dry weather, is totally unacceptable, and the council doesn't seem to be able to get a prosecution to try and deter these dog owners who are responsible dog owners. But it's just to make that point that it's easy to say that type of thing, but unless there's real product emerging from it and an improvement in those services, the public won't buy that. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's proposed by Councillor Byrne, seconded by Item 7, aids to navigation, repairs and strength for lock. Conor Sade or Amanda?
I can check the paper, Councillor. So as outlined in section 2 of this paper, we are in receipt of a report from consultants that we appointed to undertake a review of the navigational aids along Strangford Lock. That report has made a number of recommendations for investment in the navigational aids, where some are obsolete, some require repair, and it also has identified where there's investment for new aids at certain locations. From the report has been completed, we have been doing some maintenance work, but we've now reached a time where we need to undertake and take forward the recommendations as outlined in that report. So there is a business case attached to this report, and there is details around the costs of that, which we are seeking approval for from the capital plan.
Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. The following items are to be taken in closed session. Items 8 to 21 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Northern Ireland Local Government Act 2024. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Can I have a proposal to go into closed session? Mr. Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Riley. First in committee, the following work read item 8, IDOCS IT systems. We're not back in. We have Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed on: the proposal item 8, iDocs IP systems, and the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to approve the attached business case and approve the continued use of iDocs line of business IT systems through a direct award under the Government Commercial Agency Framework RM6259 Vertical Application Solutions Lot 3 with the incumbent supplier. This represents a compliant procurement route and will ensure continuity of service and support for the Council's critical business systems. Item 9, Health Cash Plan and Employee Assistance Programme. On the proposal of Councillor Arlo King, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to support the continuation of scheme and outline business case for the scheme as outlined at Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. Item 10, FMA SLA proposals. On the proposal of Councillor O'Reilly, seconded by Councillor McAteer, the following was agreed: a 1-year extension of the current FMAs and SLAs relating to community centres to facilitate a comprehensive review of contract specifications and service delivery, the uplift in funding allocation to community groups who currently run community facilities under FMA or SLA based on the relevant groups fully claiming the uplifted amount, the incorporation of the Community Development Strategy public consultation findings into the future re-procurement strategy for the facilities. Item 11, Analong Harbour. On the proposal of Councillor O'Reilly, seconded by Councillor Rice, it was agreed to approve the preferred option of the business case for the appointment of the civil engineering framework contractor to complete the recommended remedial works at the South Pier and further investigations as outlined in Section 2.6 of the Officer's Report. Item 12, Treller Winter Grazing and Kilbroney Cornacre. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Rice, it was agreed that Council's agent seek to make an appointment for the following by Cornacre agreements: the conservation winter grazing of the dunes of Treller for 2 years, the area detailed at Kilbroney Park, which is approved for 2 years but only let annually. Item 13, Charge Park and Automation at the Forest Parks. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to approve the updated capital budget for charge parking as detailed at Section 2 and 4 of the Officer's Report. It was also agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Howe, that a workshop would be held with members in advance of the implementation of the new charge parking automation. Item 14, funding repayment. On the proposal of Councillor Arlo King, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed that the organisation named in the report be permitted to apply for financial assistance on the condition that they continue their repayments. Item 15, Industrial Relations Update. On the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor O'Reilly, the following was agreed: to note the agreed IR framework documents to be dated and the proposed approach to reach agreement to progress the trade union coordinator job description, to note the finance and resources associated with the establishment of 2 permanent trade union coordinator posts and approve the temporary HR and payroll posts to support the work plan activities as set out in Section 2.4 of the Officer's Report for a period of up to 3 years. Item 16, lease of library space at Cross MacLean Community Centre. On the proposal of Councillor Cahill King, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to grant a lease of that portion of Cross MacLean Community Centre, as outlined in red on the map attached, for a term of 99 years, subject to the yearly market rent as set out in the Officer's Report and continued contribution towards running costs of Cross MacLean Community Centre. It was also agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McAteer, that officers bring further information back on third-party users. Item 17, lease of land adjacent to My Community Centre. On the proposal of Councillor Cahill King, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to enter into a lease with the group noted in the report in respect of that portion of lands adjacent to My Community Centre, as outlined in red on the map attached to the Officer's Report, for the term of 25 years at a peppercorn rent, subject to a departmental consent. Item 18, request for easement of Lighthouse Car Park, Castle Welland, on the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Mathers. It was agreed to grant a licence of a Burren Village Green, as shown outlined in yellow on the map attached, to the group named in the officer's report, for a term of 5 years at the Perpicorn licence fee, subject to departmental consent. Item 19, lease for proportion of Burren Village Green, on the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Arda King. It was agreed to grant an easement of electricity cables under that portion of the council facility, known as the Lighthouse Road Car Park, Castle Welland, as shown by a green line on the map attached to the officer's report to the adjoining landowner for market value consideration, subject to payment of council's legal and valuation costs. Item 20, surrender of lease at Burren Bridge Road, Castle Welland. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to permit the group named within the report to surrender the lease in respective lands at Burren Bridge Road, Castle Welland, back to the council. Item 21, boundary rectification at American Lane, Cranfield. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Rice, it was agreed to rectify the registered title boundary between the dwelling detailed on the attached map and Council's private road known as American Lane, Cranfield, subject to the owner agreeing to pay the Council's legal costs. For noting item 22, NILGA annual subscription 2026-27, on the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Arthur King, it was agreed to note the annual NILGA subscription fee for 26/27. And finally, item 23, local authority deeds. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Arthur King, it was agreed to note the contents of the report. That concludes the meeting. Thank you. All right. We're not finished yet. So there's items 24.1 to 24.5 are for noting. Does anyone have any questions or comments? If not, Councillor Bin, go ahead.
No, proposed.
Proposed by Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Thank you.